Well, it certainly is good to see those who are back out with us tonight. Hope you had a good afternoon. Hope you enjoyed the rain or misting or whatever you got this afternoon. It was different at different times. But hope you enjoyed it. I know several have been looking for the rain here lately. Tonight we are talking about, as I mentioned this morning, the names of God. In the Old Testament, God revealed Himself by the means of various names. Three primary names we find for God in the Old Testament are Elohim, Jehovah, and Adonai, all found in the book of Genesis, chapters 1, 2, and 15, respectively. Together, these primary names are also found to be compound names, where they put another word with the name of God to show an attribute of God. It is important that we understand the name of God and understand the significance of God, because it gives reference to His character, it gives reference to what He does, it gives reference to the blessings that we have through Him. And so tonight, what we're looking at is seven compound names that go with the name Jehovah, in the name of God. I will start by saying I have never studied Hebrew, so forgive me with the pronunciations, because they're all Hebraic words. The first name we're going to talk about is Jehovah Jireh. These seven names are found in seven different passages in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at the passage in which they're found. And then there's one place in the Bible recorded that talks about all seven attributes of God. And I'm disappointed because nobody guessed. Not a single person took my bait and guessed. I only told one person he wasn't allowed to guess, and that was Bob, because he already knew it. Because I had him sing a certain song just a moment ago. So it was in Psalm 23. So that's where we'll look at all seven names in just a few moments. The first name, though, Jehovah Jireh, means the Lord who provides. Providence. Providential. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, Abraham called the place the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. We understand that one of the attributes of God is He provides to those who seek Him. He gives providence to those. But also we find the name, and this one I know I'll pronounce right because I've watched enough NCIS, I know how to say the word, Jehovah Shalom. And if you ever have talked, if you ever even seen NCIS when they had the Israeli woman on there, you know Shalom means peace. The Lord who gives peace is what that name means. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it the Lord is peace. To this day it is still in Orphah of the Jezreelites. We understand that God is peaceful and God gives peace and rest to those who seek Him. But also we find Jehovah Rophika, which simply means the Lord who heals. In Exodus chapter 15, in verse 26, and He said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Here we have an instance. In the first one, we had Abraham, who gave the name of God, being Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Then we have Gideon giving the name of God, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who gives peace. Here we have God saying, for I, the Lord, am your healer, giving His name Jehovah Rophika. And then we have Jehovah Tiskenu, Tisdenku, however you want to pronounce that. And that simply means, and I'm going to apologize for the size of the verses because they're going to be a little bit smaller if you can't see, the Lord is our righteousness. And Jeremiah records it twice in his writings. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, in His days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is His name by which He will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Many people thought Jeremiah was just simply a prophet of dread. He's just prophesying all these bad things that are going to happen. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But Jeremiah also talks about the righteousness of God and by which some will be called, giving promise. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 16, in those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. And this is the name by which you will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. And then you have Jehovah Shammah. In Ezekiel 48, verse 35, the city shall be 18,000 cubits around about it, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. It literally means the Lord who is there, but I want you to change that in your notes for when we get to the end. Put the present Lord. His presence. Then you have Jehovah Nissi. And that means the Lord our banner. Exodus chapter 17 in verse 5, then Moses built an altar and named it the Lord our banner. 17:15, excuse me. And then you have the seventh name of God we find in the Old Testament. And that is Jehovah Mekadishkim. And that means the Lord who sanctifies. In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And so what you end up having is these seven names of God, Jehovah, Shalom, Rofika, Tiskenu, Shammah, Nissi, Mekadishkim. And it signifies who God is. He is a provider. He is the giver of peace. He is a healer. He is righteous. He gives righteousness. He is all present. He is a banner. A cause, if you will. A reason. And He is a sanctifier. And the one place where all seven of these attributes are found is Psalm 23. So turn there with me. And let's look at the role of God as the psalmist described it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What you find in Psalm 23 is you have this opening statement, the Lord is my shepherd. And then you have this final statement, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in between all that, you have the seven names of God. What you find in this text is, first of all, the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter about the name of God if He's not your God. Those characteristics will mean nothing to you unless He is your God. He is my shepherd. So the psalmist starts with this statement saying that His action is that I have appointed God as my shepherd. I have put Him in that place. And because of that, I shall not want. Because He provides. The psalmist here is not talking about physical things. That is not the point of this psalm at all. Many people have tried to make this psalm into the physical realm and say that it talks about protection from physical enemies, and that it talks about protection from physical ailments, and that it talks about anything of the physical realm. That's not the point of this psalm. The point of this psalm is things of a spiritual nature. Because that's all the characteristics of God. All these characteristics pertain to the spiritual realm. The spiritual needs of an individual. And that's why you can have the statement, the Lord is my shepherd, because He chooses who to put His trust in. And if it isn't clear that this isn't talking about anything of the physical realm, then that's definitely the end of verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is talking about spiritual matters. And so in verse 1, you have Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides. What does He provide to us? I want you to think about that. What is the providence of God? Think about it for a moment. What is the providence of God? It is the ability to become a child of His. It is the ability to serve Him. It is the ability to be given opportunities to repent when we mess up. And it is the promise of a home with Him if we're found faithful. That's what God provides to us. He provides us spiritual blessings, our family, being those who are in this building tonight and those who are part of the kingdom. He provides to us rest. Everybody looks for rest. Everybody looks for rest. Because people get tired. He provides it to the faithful. He provides security through His Word. One of our memory verses tonight, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He provides guidance through His Word. Don't ever think God doesn't provide anything. God provides everything. Everything that matters. And then you come, and He says, so I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. You know what the picture the psalmist is painting? Oh, it's a beautiful picture to me because I love to be by the water. Peace. Tranquility. Calmness. There's Jehovah Shalom. Provider of peace. Giver of peace. And you may think being a Christian in this world is not peaceful. Well, that's not the peace here on this earth. It is the peace of knowing, A, that if I'm faithful to God, I will have rest. B, that if I'm faithful to God, nothing else matters. And C, I can be at peace with Him. And that matters most of all. All that peace is provided by Him in His Word. All that peace is shown by Him in His Word. Those who are at peace means they're at peace with God. So He provides. And really that goes right into Shalom because it means giver of peace. Peace giver. So He's providing peace. And He is providing healing. You see, they all build upon one another. Verse 3. He restores my soul. Just that one line. And there we see Rafika. Jehovah Rafika. Because the idea of healing is not the idea of fixing blood issues, disease. These televangelists who will say that it is the power of Jehovah Rofika when they can touch a person and they'll just leap up after being on a walker for years. That's not the healing we're talking about. Whatever that is you see on TV is some man's ploy to get you to buy into it. When we talk about God being a healer, He's healing the most important thing we have, and that's our soul. So we have the idea that He restores my soul. Souls can be damaged. Souls can be hurt. They can be hurt by other people. They can be hurt by doctrines that are contrary to the will of God. They can be tossed to and fro, carried about. Those phrases are used in the New Testament time and time again. A soul can be damaged by the words of another. And a soul can be beaten down by rejection and persecution. But that healing is found only in God. The restoration of one's soul, being restored to a proper state with God, being restored to a place of sanctity, securedness, only comes from God. I think that's what the psalmist is talking about. He restores my soul because He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, He is the Lord is righteous. Lord is righteousness. Jehovah Tiskenu. We understand that God does no wrong. We understand that God cannot lie, God cannot sin. We need to understand that He is righteous, and that's where righteousness comes from. We want to be more righteous in our lives. If we want to have that healing, if we want to have the peace, if we want to be provided for and taken care of, that all comes from God. And nowhere else. And I think we need to be mindful. And the psalmist paints it beautifully. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. He's always present. He's always there. There's a couple things to think about with that idea. The psalmist paints it beautifully. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Even at the worst times, even at the hardest place, God is there. But let me remind you what He says in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The reason that God is there is He's been invited by the psalmist. The reason that God is there as this presence that makes Him feel secure is because the psalmist has put God in the place of watching over him. Remember the verse, God is near to all who call on Him? God is always present. God is always there. If only we will seek for Him. And that's what the psalmist is doing in this passage. When he's talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, let me tell you, that's a place where anybody would be afraid to go. And so he is searching for His strength. He is searching for His banner. For His reason. And that's God. Banner is there twice, in my opinion. Banner is found in verse 5, or in verse 4, with the idea of the rod and the staff, they comfort me. The banner can be a couple of different things that we can think about. Jehovah Nissi. The banner can be a reason or a cause. The banner can be the cry for God. You think of the word banner, oftentimes we talk about it being the forerunner. The thing that goes before us, that defines who we are. You think about at a parade, when a band comes marching down the street, there is a banner that goes in front of them to signify who they are. That's actually really the same idea in a lot of places. The idea of banner being the thing that goes before you to signify who you are. Banner can also be a cause, meaning that the people who are fighting in this battle, the people who are striving, take up this banner as their cause. Take this up as the reason. I think in verse 4, it's a cause. Your rod and your staff, they are with me. The psalmist is looking for that. Those items are items of correction. You notice what they are. They are items that are meant to correct. The psalmist knows they are with him, always present as his cause to keep him on the right path. But then in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. There we actually have the talk of being present before the enemies. Just like in the book of Job, where God said, "Have you thought of my servant Job?" That's another idea of banner that I think is found in verse 5. Signifying who you are. You belong to God. Even in the presence of enemies. And then you have Nicodishkin, the sanctifier. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The sanctifier, some have differed on where they believe the sanctifier is found in this passage. Many hold, and I would agree, that it is in you have anointed my head with oil. Sanctifying in that idea. But I also want to suggest it's in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. This idea of being sanctified, and then in verse 6, the blessings of sanctification. So you have God sanctifying the psalmist, and then you have the blessings of sanctification, and then you really have it again, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because one who has not been sanctified will not dwell in God's house. One who has not obeyed Him and done what is right will not be in His house. And so let me suggest to you these thoughts. A name is important. People's names are important. There's a family in West Tennessee that's last name is Hatler. H-A-T-L-E-R. It was changed back in the 1940s from, you can guess what? Hitler. Because of the connotation that went along with their last name. Names can bring fear. Names can bring joy. Names can bring blessings. It is important to understand the name of God. All these compound names, all these attributes, show only some of the characteristics of God. And the psalmist, David, he puts it in a pretty picture in Psalm 23. If I want to be sanctified and healed and be considered righteous, then I have to recognize the presence of God who gives peace and provides for those who take up the banner. Who take up Him as His cause and who call Him their shepherd. There's the seven names of God. And the attributes all relate in together. But I cannot stress enough. I think it is interesting how the psalm is laid out. You have all the attributes of God in the middle, and you have one statement in front and one statement at the end. The first statement is, "The Lord is my shepherd." Each individual must make that decision on who will be their shepherd. A shepherd is one who tends to the sheep. Okay, but a shepherd is one who cares, who feeds, who cleans, who cares for his sheep. But not only is there man's part required. So you have man's part, the Lord is my shepherd. And then you have God's part, all these different attributes. And if I will put God in that place, and if I will recognize who He is, and if I will follow Him in the right way, I will receive all the blessings right down through that last statement. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That statement can only be made by one who has put God first, recognized these attributes, and followed in the right manner. Many people in this world recite Psalm 23. Many do not understand the importance of it, the significance of it, and how, even though they recite it, they really don't follow what it says. What about you? How would you respond to the name of God? Just as the Hatler family had to change their name because of the bad connotation, there are names that have great blessings, and you can hold no greater blessing than being called a Christian and being called a child of Jehovah, a child of God. Do you choose to accept the name or to reject it? That's your decision. Because even though God is always present, He only provides, gives peace, heals, make righteous, and sanctifies the one who takes up His banner, the one who takes up His cause. Will you take it up this evening? If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, I encourage you to do that tonight. But if you're here and you're not living right, you're not putting God as your shepherd, then you're not enjoying the blessings of Him either. And you need to make your life right with Him tonight. If we can assist you in any way, we'll be glad to do so. If you'll only come forward now as we stand and as we sing the psalm that's been selected.